Hello, everybody. This is Flurries on Films. This week, we're doing Alien.
Hit the music.
Everybody, I'm Michael Flaherty.
And I'm Colleen Flaherty. This is Flaherty's on Films, where we talk about really cool movies. Some are spooky, though.
This is a spooky one. It's a Halloween special. Here's the description of this movie. After a space merchant vessel receives an unknown transmission as a distress call, one of the crew is attacked by a mysterious life form, and they soon realize that it's a life cycle has... Wait, what? That its life cycle has merely begun. That's
Michael,
too many
that
words.
Was perfect. That was a really great
reading. But this description is like... The whole thing should be like, Alien, 1979, here's the description, there's an alien. Like, that's it, right?
Honestly, that first bit makes you realize there might be too much backstory in this already pretty simple film.
That's what I'm saying. It should be just one word, like an alien kills him.
Here's my description. Like 10 years ago, Ridley Scott saw 2001 and was like, what if we did this movie an hour shorter with an actual plot?
Then, like, the executives are with the cigar, like, this will never work.
You're crazy. Get out of here, Scott.
You and your big dreams. Get out the door. Have you seen this film before?
I have seen this film before. I've also seen Alien 2 and some of Alien 3, and then I gave up on the entire franchise after that. But I think it's pretty good. How about you?
For some reason, before I saw this movie, I saw Prometheus. Did you see that one?
Yeah, it wasn't very good.
That movie was full of shit. Well, all I remember about it is that it was co-written by Damon Lindelof, who's like the Lost writer. So it was very like that. It was like all mysteries and all mysterious. And it was for Alien fans. And I had never seen Alien. So I like hated every single element of the movie.
Well, a lot of people hated it because they marketed it like, it's like, oh, you like aliens? You're going to like this. But it wasn't even about aliens. Like, it was sort of just about this weird speculative philosophical backstory of the alien race that may have led to said alien in Aliens, but they didn't even do that well.
It's like a kind of serious movie that took itself pretty seriously, but there's this one part I remember where there's like a donut ship, like a huge ship that had crashed on the planet and was like rolling, and they're like, oh, we gotta get out of the way, the ship is rolling, but they're like running forward while it's rolling, so there's like run to the side. I remember that part too. I have seen this film before. I remember liking it when I watched it this time. Still liked it.
Yeah. But Prometheus, really. Here's how much Prometheus sucks. Because, like, it sucks in a way of a movie that's overly stylized and kind of boring.
Wait, sorry. Have you seen Prometheus?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Which all those things are like my friend David's favorite things about movies, and even he hated it. So it just didn't work on any level.
Just didn't work. That's our review. That's the Flurries on Films review of Prometheus. Didn't work.
I know you were all clamoring for it.
Try again.
Anyway, why don't we go to our first segment?
What is
Sam?
It?
Sam.
Time for Sam.
That's the part of the show where Sam comes on and tells us some great facts about Alien.
And if you have any Prometheus facts, we don't want to hear them. Just didn't work
we
out.
Do not did not work
yeah
as a film fundamentally
skip
okay well get out of here. Give me a second here to delete yeah. delete
thank you.
Writer Dan O'Bannon had just finished writing a comedy space film called Dark Star. He liked writing space films, but he wanted to move towards horror. What if a space crew was stuck on a ship with an alien? He started working on the idea when he was contacted by another writer, Ronald Shusett, and the two discussed their previous works and their current ideas. They decided to team up to work on the ideas they each had. They would first work on O'Bannon's, as it would be much cheaper to make. But after finishing, they would move on to Shusett's idea, which would become Total Recall.
Ooh.
While working on his horror space screenplay at the time titled Star Beast, O'Bannon would go to Paris, where he would meet an artist named H.R. Giger. Giger's paintings would disturb and inspire O'Bannon, who would later say, quote, his paintings had a profound effect on me. I had never seen anything that was quite as horrible at the same time as beautiful as his work. And so I ended up writing a script about a Giger monster.
I think his name is Geiger, H.R. Geiger.
Well, that's really embarrassing, isn't it?
I mean, I don't know. I could be wrong. That's what I think.
Sounds better than Giger.
Giger.
So anyway, back to Banana.
Back to damn Banana.
As the story kept growing, O'Bannon would become less happy with the title of Star Beast. One day, while reading through their script, he noticed how often they used the word alien, and he decided to change the title to just Alien, as he liked how simple it was and that it was both a noun and an adjective. After they had finished the screenplay, the partners tried to sell their screenplay to different studios. They would describe it as Jaws in Space. However, they had little luck finding anyone who was interested. It wasn't until Brandywine Productions finally bought it, but insisted on rewrite after rewrite after rewrite. I think they went through 8 rewrites. The constant changes brought a lot of chaos between the writing partners and the production company. And no matter what they did, the company never really seemed happy with the result. But then 1977 happened. Anyone?
Star Wars?
With the crazy success of Star Wars, the studio was desperate to make anything sci-fi. And with that, 20th Century Fox gave the new Alien script the green light.
Nice.
Okay.
Now they needed a director. Impressed by his latest film, the studio approached Ridley Scott. Scott would immediately sign on. He started making storyboards for the film. For inspiration, he looked at Star Wars and 2001 A Space Odyssey for outer space. And for the horror movie aspect, he looked at Chainsaw Massacre.
I've never seen that.
What was his previous film?
The one he had done before this was called Duality, I think.
Never heard of it.
That famous one.
Yeah.
He also did Gladiator.
That's a ways away.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
A little later.
So when Scott brought his storyboards to the studio, they actually doubled the film's budget from $4.2 to $8.4 million. Now, when you have a movie called Alien, you really need a super cool alien. So O'Bannon would go back to the artist who inspired his story and probably his nightmares. A quick little anecdote, when O'Bannon first met Geiger.
I think that's how it's pronounced. Okay. Yeah.
When O'Bannon first met Geiger, Geiger immediately offered him opium. When O'Bannon asked him why he takes opium, Geiger said, "I'm afraid of my visions."
Wow.
And O'Bannon reminded Geiger that it's only in his mind, which Geiger replied, "That is what I'm afraid of."
Oh. Isn't that Geiger? Okay, so counter is like how you measure radiation.
Well, Mick Geiger is the guy who can do whatever with whatever.
What?
The Mick Geiger dude. Isn't
MacGyver?
It? Oh, shit.
Isn't that someone who goes underwater? Oh, sorry. It's a diver.
It's a long Sunday, guys.
They operate motor vehicles. That's a driver. Sorry.
Michael, could you do this all day?
I think I'm out, actually.
Plies? Never mind.
Well, what about somebody who slaps your hand when you're doing a good job? That's a high fiver.
That's a good one. Okay, so Geiger would design the looks of all the aliens. Scott was determined to use animatronics as he couldn't bear for the title character to be just a man in a suit. However, the technology just wasn't there. While in a London pub, one of the cast directors saw a tall man with unusually skinny limbs. When Scott met the graphic designer, whose name was Balaji Badihol, he agreed to have him play the alien, but not before sending him to Tai Chi and mime classes to slow his movements. Filming took place near London for 14 weeks. For some shots, the actors had to wear heavy and hot space suits. As they were also filming during summer temperatures, the actors kept passing out due to the heat. It got to the point where they actually needed to have a nurse on set with oxygen ready to take care of them.
Wow.
They do look sweaty all the time. I mean, I think it like kind of adds to the movie a bit, but...
Yeah. So to demonstrate the immense size of the ship, in some of the shots, Scott would actually use his son and another child in smaller spacesuits. But when the kids started passing out, the suits had to be reworked to circulate air.
Sure.
For the blue laser light in the alien ship's egg chamber, the production borrowed lasers from the who were testing lasers for their stage show in the next door downstage.
That's super funny.
That's a cool anecdote.
Probably the most famous scene from the film is the chestburster scene. To create the moment, Sir John Hurt stuck his head, shoulders, and arms up through a hole in the mess table that already had the mechanical torso packed with compressed air and animal guts. The cast, besides John Hurt, was not told exactly what was going to be happening, although they had a vague idea. So they knew there was going to be an explosion, but they didn't know exactly what was going to happen. That being said, they also walked in and, like, all the crew was wearing, like, rain jackets, so maybe they should have caught on.
Yeah, and there's I'd always heard that fact, too, that people, they didn't know the chest burst was happening, but there's, like, all this setup. I mean,
everyone's wearing raincoats, and there's a fake chest. Like, what could happen?
Yeah, apparently, it was, like, certain things, like, the one actress besides Sigourney, like, actually got hit with the fake blood. Yeah. And she didn't know it was gonna like spray out like that. So like that part of it, I guess, is the we didn't know part.
Cause I remember watching it this time knowing that fact, and like actually they don't seem that shocked. Like it's not a Alan Rickman Hans Gruber situation.
You can kind of see them say, oh sure.
Yeah, okay. I mean, yeah, they seem like they're acting surprised, not like although the girl gets splattered with blood does look genuinely annoyed.
Apparently the whole situation was so disgusting that Yaphet Kotto went home afterwards, locked himself in his room, and refused to talk to anyone for several hours. So
all right. I believe his name is Yaphet Kotto.
Thank you.
Very cool.
A lot of the props included real organic matter from a local butcher, as they had the desired wet and gooey look that they needed. So in like the eggs and in that stomach and stuff.
Who knew robots were so yucky?
Yeah, geez.
We'll talk about that later.
So Alien opened on May 25th, 1979. And something I think is pretty cool is that they actually in Hollywood at the theater, they didn't do like a regular premiere for this film, but they did put out all the models and sets and props to kind of promote it. So it didn't really have a big push for promotion. This was kind of like one of the ways they did it. And it would gross worldwide $143 million.
Whoa.
It would be nominated for a couple Academy Awards, Best Art Direction and Best Visual Effects. And your question of the week is, how many did it win?
Four.
She said they were nominated for two, Michael.
Two.
All right, I'm going to say zero.
We'll call this one a tie. It won Best Visual Effects, but not Best Art Direction.
What won Best Art Direction?
I don't know. I didn't actually look that up this time.
Last time you were mad we didn't ask.
I know.
You're all over the place, man.
I have a lot of thoughts. Now I want to know. Okay, well, I'll come back to that. Obviously, as you guys have previously discussed, this movie sparked a bunch of sequels, although they always had different writers and different directors. The only consistent in the main three is Sigourney Weaver. By the way, this was her first film starring as a lead. And my final fact for you guys today, there is a church in Scotland called Paisley Abbey. And it dates all the way back to the 12th century. And it's a little 12 miles west of Glasgow. And it had to have a restoration project that took place in the 1990s. And while that was happening, a stonemason that was hired to replace the gargoyles erected one that is one of the aliens from the movie.
Whoa.
So in this very old Scottish church, there is an alien.
That's nice. Very cool. I would like to see that. which says a lot of cool things about me. Anyway,
that was Bam.
Time for Sam. The winner of art direction was All That Jazz, which I believe is a film about Bob Fosse.
Oh,
and Apocalypse Now lost, as did Star Trek the motion picture in that category. Anyway, that was great, Sam. Thank you so much. What are we talking about? Critics Corner?
Yes.
Where we hear from the critics what they think about Alien, the film. By the way, there have been a shit ton of Alien films.
How many?
There have been 2 Alien versus Predator films.
Seems like I like both those movies. I mean, I like both Alien and Predator, so it seems like that mix-up would be good. Are those movies any good?
I don't know. Now I kind of want to see them.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure they're not good, right?
I mean, well, how can you go wrong? They're right. Big monsters. They fight each other.
I do like that.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Anyway, I'll start with our very good friend who's back this week, Peter Bradshaw.
Yes, thank you. I've been missing him.
I know you have. After 40 years, this sci-fi horror masterpiece still feels lethally contemporary. You know, I thought when I watched this movie today, I was like, this movie, we really need this movie in this day and age, because it is a movie about how you just should listen to women and that following quarantine procedure is really important.
Oh, so that's a good bit.
Very good modern lessons.
Here's a review by Layla, who writes for Amazon Reviews. This movie was incredibly slow and boring, with a set that reminded me of a plasticky, aging Disney World ride. Really? Okay. My husband is a hockey player. Where's this going? And he pointed out that they are using hockey gloves as a part of their spacesuit. She caught him. And I'm pretty sure they used literal Christmas lights on the exterior of the spaceship. Not impressed.
Man, Layla is going to be really disappointed when she learns how movies are made.
I was really impressed, but I don't know anybody who plays hockey.
I mean, don't space gloves and spacesuits look like hockey gloves?
I don't think that's fair. I just said I do not know any hockey players, so I can't tell you.
You've seen hockey players in your life. You've seen the goalies wear those big weird gloves.
I mean, I'm just no hockey expert, nor am I married to one.
Fair enough. A sci-fi thriller of palpable, nerve-tingling tension with Sigourney Weaver playing Warrant Officer Ellen Ripley in stunning form, says Martin Chilton of the Daily Telegraph.
Nice. This is from John, but not our brother. This is an Amazon review. The 4K marketing for the cover showing the creature is not good. Did I read that right? The 4K yep. marketing for the cover showing the creature is not good. Okay.
You got it.
Why show the creature in the box cover art if there are some people out there that still haven't seen it? That destroys the flow of presenting it to the audience for maximum effect. Bad call, I tell you.
There's a lot of good points, John.
So he's just
shouldn't have spoilers for a 50-year-old movie.
Yeah, I guess I agree with that.
Everybody knows what Alien from Alien looks like.
No. Does your daughter?
Well, yeah, because she probably walked in while I was watching.
Well, okay, that's but everyone.
Good point. You're good point. This is a screamingly spooky sci-fi tale with more than a few echoes of The Thing, but echoes which enhance rather than detract, says Ernst Leo Grande of the New York Daily News.
This one's it's our last review for the week. This is by Crash, spelled with a K. This is an Amazon review. What do people see in this film? I am not one for horror films, though I do like this alien stuff. Nothing happens in the film. Nothing. We spent most of the time waiting and waiting for something to happen. This movie could have been cut to an hour and a half an hour. Easy. There is a saying that says that fear is being scared of the unknown. Unfortunately, this film has tried to do this too and gone too far. Rather than waiting for something to happen, while on the edge of our seats, we wait and wait and wait and wait. We barely get to see the alien, and the special effects are pretty poor. Sure, it was a long time ago, so we can't expect too much, but look at Star Wars, which came out around the same time. They were much better than Alien, and Lucas had half the money.
Whoa.
Star Wars looks way worse than this film, I think.
I think so, too. Yeah.
I think that's what everyone thinks. I think Crash is sort of an outlier.
Yeah, I'm going to feel like an idiot if Sam already said this. But I think the thing in this movie that Ridley Scott is really praised for is the slow play and the not really seeing the alien and the unknown. Mm-hmm. But I heard, I have not backed this up with facts, that that's kind of an accident.
Why is that?
That like they showed like the alien, the creature to test audiences and they thought it was silly looking.
It's a Jaws situation.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like, production got in the way of actually using the alien the way they originally intended, which made a much better, more sinister movie. That's mm-hmm. exactly Jaws. Huh. So Scott not only didn't come up with this idea of a great slow play, he also didn't come up with the idea of accidentally having a good idea because of production flaws.
No, he's an unoriginal hack. Our next segment is favorite, least favorite. Clean, what's your, say one of those.
My least favorite part is I do think it drags a little at times. And I know that's kind of to its effect and its slow build, but I get bored real easily. So I thought, yeah, I thought it dragged a little.
Here's the thing for me. Like, you're right. It is slow and boring, but I kind of like that. Like, I kind of like to be bored when the world feels so authentic and real. So I actually don't mind that.
Well, that's just my biggest criticism. Like, I don't really have another one.
Yeah, my criticism is kind of fake, too. But I think the effects look so good that it's just too bad when something does look obviously fake.
Like the puppet, like the little alien puppet.
I was just thinking that when the puppet goes across the table and he kind of scurries away.
I like it when he pops out and he looks his head around. And I just, like, when I'm watching that, it's so cute and weird.
Right. Like the movie, it's crazy how good some of the shots look. I mean, the sets, I think, are just amazing.
The models are so good. And I'm just like, why don't we do this all the time? Oh, because it's really expensive and hard to do well.
Right.
Sure. Whatever. But they look, I don't think anything in modern movies looks as good as some of those models looked in the space. And by models, I mean the spaceships.
So it's not even a fault of the movie. It's just too bad for the time that just not everything got to look that good. And some of it takes you out of it.
Well, it's really funny because the stuff with the grown-up alien, doesn't look that bad. I mean, because he's in the shadow, so he probably does look bad in real life, but it actually looks exactly like Independence Day Alien. So
it's a guy, you know, it's not a puppet. I mean, I guess it's a puppet.
Actually,
Big Bird's a puppet.
That's true. Well, sometimes when you get a full shot of him, even though it's far away, it does look a little silly because you're like, oh, that is just a guy in a suit.
Yeah.
But I agree with you there. What was your favorite part?
I guess my favorite part is that it's just taken so seriously. Like, I really feel like I was on the ship.
Whoa.
You know what I mean? I mean, it's taken to such a degree that there's little details. Like, so the guy's walking around looking for the cat, and then he goes into this room, and it's raining, and you're like, what the fuck? But then you, like, look it up, and you're like, yeah, well, it's kind of, there's moisture because of the blah, 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 blah. And you're like, oh, that's neat. You know, it's, like, so real that they thought of things you didn't even think of. So it just feels so crazy.
I did like the little details, even though I said it's maybe, like, too much backstory, but.
And, like, we get silly moments, like, the computer looks just absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, yeah. Man, people did not think computers were going to get better. I really like the font they used. That's a weird thing. And that's not my favorite part.
That color green is great.
I really love the simplicity of it, despite you saying how great all the little details are. It's just, again, I really liked 2001's art direction. I thought it was beautiful, but it is a fucking nonsense film. This film is so gorgeous. And it's like, here's the story. Alien come in, alien gonna kill you. That's the story. It's great. In this beautiful world they've built, it's perfect. Just do that.
I got 2 points about that. One, I mean, it demonstrates the worst quality of Prometheus, where their way of making it better was to try to make it more complicated. When it's like, right. No, do the exact opposite, because that's actually what we like. My second point, and I was thinking about this earlier, I mean, this film is so similar to Jason X. The Friday 13th sequel where Jason goes into space. It's about a monster who kills all the passengers on a ship and there's a robot. Mm-hmm. So I was trying to think which one is better. You know, if someone had put a gun to your head and made you choose, like, which is a higher quality film, if you had to pick one, what do you think you would say?
So Jason X is the one where they have that computer simulation where they're like, Teehee, we're teenage sluts.
Yeah, meta commentary on the whole series. And it said something about culture. This movie doesn't really say a lot about culture.
That's true. And then he has a new mask for some reason.
Yeah, he upgraded because he went into the thing.
And he went into space.
He became all metal. Yeah.
Remember how there was like a weird amount of backstory? We really need to know why Jason got into space.
Well, because of the crystal like research facility, and he was frozen. So I don't know what is. I can't say exactly which one's better. I mean, Alien did come out first.
You know, sometimes there's no comparing. There's just different.
It's an apples and oranges.
I mean, it's just a very effective homage.
Yeah, yeah.
I also liked and then sometimes it was a little too much. Just the slow play of the action was just so well done that sometimes it was very creepy. Like, yeah. I got tingles. I got chills.
Yeah.
At the end, when she's like, you know, fighting the alien?
Ooh. You already made this comment, but it is nice to see 2001, but good. Like, because it's like some of there's just the great sets with the classical music. It really feels like that vibe, which is a great vibe. You know, it's really nice to watch that. But then, stuff happens that's interesting.
Right. I also love, I don't, look, man, maybe this is just a stupid, like, pandering to us ladies, but I just love how right Sigourney Weaver is the whole time, and then they all die. It's awesome.
It's good, but it's also, like, I don't know. Remember the conversation that she has with the guy who turns out to be a robot? And she's like, I'm in charge. So don't let him in because he's sick and we have quarantine law, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, no, let them in. Do you remember this conversation?
Uh-huh.
I was thinking like, this would be maybe more interesting if she wasn't 100% right. Do you know what I mean? It's like, there's no gray area. She's right morally and she was the one in charge.
Yeah, and then they just did it anyway.
Like, I don't really mind it, but like maybe there could have been some shade of gray there, but I guess it's fine.
But that, and then a little moments just keep happening. Like, you know, we shouldn't have done that, or we should just throw this thing out and not study it, and we should. And it's like, just fucking listen to her. And then they don't, and they all die. End of story. Perfect. It's just like sometimes I just need that. Okay, Michael.
Hey, yeah, I'm not even saying it's that bad. Like, it's fine.
All right. I have not read this summary, so this is going to be fun for everybody.
All right.
Because I took a nap instead of writing one.
Nice.
So I depended on our intern, did not edit her work.
You know, it looks good. It looks brief, you know, and not a lot happens in the film. So it looks appropriate. And I see one paragraph that just says onward. So I think that's good.
All right. So the beginning of the film... The crew of the Nostromo, what is that? Is that, I mean, that must be a thing.
Reference to something? I'm not sure.
Yeah. They awaken from hypersleep, and their hypersleep pods are very cute. And they are informed by ship's computer mother that they have been rerouted to a tiny unexplored planetoid to investigate a signal of unknown origins. Does that sound like a bad idea? Sure does.
Are you sure you didn't write this?
But the crew's contract states that not investigate means they must forfeit their paychecks. And just FYI, this is not like a cool Star Trek exploratory spaceship. This is just a merchant vessel. These guys are just going to a place to get a bunch of material and bring it back to Earth. It's a whole money thing.
All right. And what read the last word?
Onward.
Thank you. Then Nostromo lands on the planetoid, but it is damaged during the process. Crew members Dallas, Lambert, and Kane go out to investigate the signal while the rest of the crew stays behind to make repairs and serve as support. The away team discovers a crashed alien ship like nothing they had ever seen before. Inside, they find the corpse of an alien in a cave-like room filled with giant leathery eggs. Kane pulls a red shirt move and decides to investigate one of the eggs.
By the way, Nostromo is a 1904 novel by Joseph Conrad set in the fictitious South American Republic. That's, I guess, where it comes from. I don't know why they named it that, though.
It's a good name.
Anyway, so that guy gets attacked by a creature. We all saw that coming.
Yeah, this thing we're reading has like a lot of cute bits in it.
So back at the ship, Ash tries to remove the creature from his face, which, by the way, Sigourney's like, don't let that fucking guy in because you're going to infect all of us. And this is how quarantine works, people. It is about the needs of the many, not the needs of the few.
Yeah.
But acid blood and his temperamental personality prevent him from doing so, getting the creature off his face. It's just on his face. Eventually, the same thing just lets go and dies. Great. Kane survives with sore throat and seems otherwise unharmed. So we're all good, right? Yeah, let's go have a bite to eat.
Are you like me that I can't look at John Hurt and not think about Ollivander? Terrible, but great. You know?
Well, now.
All right, the crew sits down for a final meal before going into hypersleep. But guess who's coming to dinner? Hint, it's not Sidney Poitier. What is this thing we're reading? An alien
bursts... He's the star of Guess Who's Coming to Dinner, Michael.
Oh, that makes sense. An alien bursts forth from Kate's chest, killing him.
Which, again, is very sillyly done.
Looks just adorable. The crew decides they won't be able to hypersleep soundly with that thing on board, so they go on.
This is a really dumb thing to bring up, but if you've ever seen the film Spaceballs, which is okay, it has its moments. It's a Mel Brooks joint. They do that chest bursting thing with the alien, and it looks so bad. But now that I've just seen this, I think it looks about the same, except in Spaceballs, then he puts on a little top hat and he goes, "Hello, my baby. Hello, my honey." And it's...
It sounds like Mel Brooks.
Anyway, I think that really added a lot to our discussion.
That was good.
So, okay. So now things are heating up and everything's very scary. Brett and Dallas fall victim to the alien. And Ripley, and by the way, Ripley, Sigourney Weaver, discovers the company that they work for actually sent Ash to ensure the alien's retrieval. I really like that actor, that Ash guy.
Yeah, he's got that good voice.
The cold
British
guy.
Sounds so sinister, yeah.
Ash attacks Ripley in the weirdest way. So he's like trying to kill her. So he slowly rolls up a magazine and tries to stuff it in her mouth to suffocate her. It was weird. I didn't even get that he was trying to kill her. It was so weird.
That's the thing. I mean, they knew what robots would really do. So they made sure to do it in that way.
A very authentic robot killing.
Just, I was like, we would have been torn out of the movie. Yeah.
Because, yeah, he's sinisterly rolling up the magazine. I'm like, is he going to swat her to death? I'm like, no, weirder.
Is he going to like pour orange juice down the middle? Or what's he gonna do?
For those of you who don't know, that's a classic magician's trick. So Parker and Lambert are coming in, fight him off. And he's a robot, which I was watching this with my friend David. I guess I forgot this part because I'm like, what's happening? Why is he so strong? And David's like, oh, we'll see. And then one of the characters like chops him. And he starts spurting everywhere. And I'm like, is he an alien? It's like, no, obviously he's a robot. So why is he spewing milk everywhere? It was weird. It's a weird way to make a robot.
I think both you and I are like complete weirdos. Because I had seen this movie and I also forgot he was a robot. Which is kind of a major point.
A really, really big point in a movie where not a lot happens.
Also, he's a guy who turns into a robot. it should stand out, maybe.
It's so memorable.
It's like really a part of the film.
So anyway, they plug him back in, which I also thought looked kind of cool. When it looks like it's just his head. Like, it's obviously just a guy standing below a floorboard, but he's like at an angle in a way that makes it look like his head is free floating.
Yeah, except like the end of the scene, they like kick the head and the head rolls, and they obviously had to change the head model, and that looked really different.
Yeah. I feel like they should have like stripped his face off so they could just use the metal part and then kicked him or something. Because when they blow it up and it's just like the metal bit, like, yeah, that looks cool.
Yeah, but that doesn't make sense. I mean, your faces are flexible. Why would there be a metal plate of a face?
Well,
mold?
There just is, and just deal with it. Have you ever built an Android, sir?
Again, these are things I'm going to be typing into Google later.
Anyway, was I reading it? I don't know.
I think so you. I don't know if you got to the part where he said he's the perfect organism.
Perfect organism.
Oh yeah. So they're like, "How do we kill it?" He's like, "You can't." He's perfect. And she's like, "You admire him." "I do." And it's like, he's a robot. Who cares what he thinks? Jesus.
Yeah.
So weird. They're fighting the perfect organism. Go on.
All right. Ripley, I'm going to read this in the tone I think it wants to be read.
Wait.
What's up?
Don't you think it's crazy that then there's a lot of firefighting on the fires fighting with fire, like just blowing shit up and using flamethrowers. I don't know a lot about space travel, but isn't that bad? Aren't you not supposed to like use fire in all oxygen environments?
But the alien, you know. So they're probably weighing up the odds, you know.
Good point, Michael.
I don't know. You're probably making a good point.
Is this the movie where the tagline is "In space, no one can hear you scream"? Because I think that's a really cool tagline.
Research. Oh,
Sam is shaking her head that that is not.
It's considered one of their taglines, but
oh, okay.
You're not wrong, but their official tagline. I was going to bring it up because I think it's an interesting tagline choice. Hold on, let me find it. Okay, ready?
Yeah.
The official tagline is "A word of warning."
Oh.
That doesn't really make sense.
I know. Oh. That's why that was interesting.
A word of warning. Alien!
Do you know?
It is a word of warning. Dot dot dot. I should clarify.
Here's the tagline for Jason X. Ready? Welcome to the future of horror.
That's very good.
Hell yeah.
Is there anything that movie can get wrong?
Hell like, yeah. Exactly. I thought we were done discovering its quality. Just not. All right. I'm going to read this review.
Right, in the tone of which it was intended.
Read this synopsis, I mean. Ripley decides enough of this noise. They'll escape on the shuttle and blow up the ship. Ripley preps the shuttle and goes looking for Jonesy.
While
Lambert and Parker gather coolant for the journey. With the terrible timing of any true movie monster, the alien arrives to kill both Parker and Lambert.
Oh, no.
And then there was one. Ripley sets the self-destruct on the ship, escapes in the shuttle, and watches as the ship and the alien are blown into space dust. The end. Only not.
What? The alien managed to escape on the shuttle with Ripley. Oh, that was so creepy. Oh, yeah. Cause they just like show little tentacles. Doing some quick thinking. And she's singing to herself. And I don't know what she's singing, but
the Lucky Star.
But right. What?
Isn't that it's You're My Lucky Star. I'm assuming I didn't actually watch Alien, but I'm assuming it's the one from Singing in the Rain. Oh. You're my luck. I only know this fact because apparently the studio was mad because it cost a lot to license the song, and Sigourney Weaver just started like chose it and kind of just played with it.
Oh, cool.
We haven't complimented Sigourney at all, but she did great acting in this scene.
Yeah, actually, I kind of thought at the beginning, I was like, her acting's a little wooden. I don't, and then she just really pulls it off.
It off.
Ripley slips into a space suit, straps herself into a seat, and blasts the creature into space, which I thought looked great. When attempts to crawl back into the shuttle through an engine, she hits the throttle and blows the creature away. Yeah.
That's the end for reals this time. Ripley enters a log into the computer relating the fate of the Nostromo and its crew. The final shot is of Ripley and Jonesy in hypersleep as the shuttle drifts through space.
Hooray! We did it.
We did it. Now we're gonna move on to one of our best segments. This is called Bro Call, where we call our brother John. John, are you there?
Hi, brother.
Have you seen the movie Alien? What do you think about it?
Yeah, so I've seen Alien twice, including 2 days ago. When I saw it the first time, I had no real expectations, and I was blown away by it, particularly about how well it aged, and I really thought it was awesome. When I watched it 2 days ago, I was much less impressed. Hmm. It's so famous for being like the sci-fi thriller, but on rewatch, it really comes off as formulaic horror. Particularly that I just kept yelling at the damn TV, like, what kind of plan is this? What are you doing? Why are you doing this? Just like you would at a bad horror movie.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the particular bad examples are when the cyborg tries to kill Sigourney. What sort of plan was that?
That's the famous magazine down the mouth plan.
Yeah, right. Like, you didn't even have to attack her. You probably could have gotten away with it.
I forgot about that part that I really liked. I forgot to mention when she's looking at the computer and they go, your only mission is to get the organism. The crew are expendable. I just thought that was really well done. I really liked that.
Oh, yeah. I thought the underlying plot was really... the plot itself is fantastic. I really like its simplicity, its sinister nature. It makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Always good positives. But back to bad plans. The really egregious one was Dallas's plan to kill the alien. All right, there's five of us left. We got to get him to the airlock. Okay, you two watch the buttons. You two watch the screens. I alone will take our one weapon and go into the airlocks. You didn't need two people to work the buttons.
I mean, I think that is kind of one of the underlying themes, is that the men were kind of hot-headed and dumb.
Okay, well, my last one is Sigourney Weaver and the two mechanics. They're like, okay, we have to stay together as a team. Ah, fuck, there goes the cat. Bert, go get the cat. We'll stand here. You go get the cat. That was Sigourney's call.
That's also part of the theme, that sometimes Sigourney's bad, too.
Yeah, I was so mad.
Really cares more about the cat.
Even the alien has a stupid plan. Like, what is it doing at the end? Is it sleeping? It's
being sinister.
Being sinister, laying down in a little cubby. Kind of
John, it's the perfect organism, except it is tired sometimes.
it's smart enough to get in the shuttle before self-destruct happens, but it's not smart enough to wake up from a nap.
No, and he was only in there for like a second, too.
Oh my god, that made me so mad. Also, is the cat evil? Because the cat keeps showing up when the alien shows up.
I don't know.
And like, they even do the close-up shots of the cat, like, doing...
Yeah, I don't know.
I think there's subtext the movie's trying to share here. While it sounds like I'm complaining about Alien, I think that my favorite thing, though, is the Nostromo itself. I am a noted fan of world building, and I think they use that ship, like, with the models that they've got, which are fantastic, like, they present the size and, like, the scope of the ship without ever explaining it, I appreciate so much. Like, it lets me imagine what the hell is going on in this world and what the ship is for and what it works. Like, the scene where there's the chains and the water coming down from that massive chamber onto Bert, and he's just, like, cooling off. I'm like, why is that there? And Michelle said that. I'm like, think of all the possibilities of why that's there. See, and that's the sort of shit I appreciate.
We totally talked about that exactly.
I even said the models. Like, that's because they were just so...
Oh, no, I was talking about the room where it rains.
You were talking about the room where it rains. Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, it's not without its flaws. I like it. I think I need to give it a B+.
Okay.
I think that's fair.
Nice.
John, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, thanks so
much. Michael, what grade do you give this film?
It's hard, because, like... I don't really have that many flaws to it. I don't mind that the plans are sometimes dumb. And I just like the sets.
I don't care about that at all.
I like the simplicity of it. It's just my personal thing, is I'm not super excited about it. I don't think I'm going to watch this movie again every time. So I'm going to give it an A. That's what I'm going to give it.
Yeah, okay. So here's my pushback with the plans are dumb. Is these are not like military people or like even astronauts. These are just merchants, right? Like, they're probably not good at this stuff.
I don't know.
That's maybe. I don't know.
But you like your main characters to be competent, right?
Yeah, I guess I don't. I didn't really. I didn't bump on that at all. I didn't
too
bother
smart.
Me. I also want to give it an A. I won't give it an A+ because I kind of agree that it's not like my favorite thing. I kind of don't really like horror, and I was a little spooked, a little too spooked sometimes.
Flatter's on film review. Too spooky.
Too spooky.
Too spooky.
Take that,
Ridley. We're sponsored by Wet Ones.
Wet Ones. When you're like, this surface is dry and dirty. If only I had something to combat this that was convenient and disposable.
I have a visual here. I have some Wet Ones on my table.
Oh, that's so helpful for our podcast listening audience.
Well, I'm going to go into it. Okay. So Kung Fu Panda is on the front here. So
how
you know,
old is that?
That's a great question. I mean, was there a Kung Fu Panda movie recently?
No.
DreamWorks Theater. Let me see. Uh-huh. Oh, hold on. Oh, so here's why. Because you can enter a chance to win a trip to Universal Studios. Who would want that nowadays?
So I don't think that was produced recently. I think you should check the expiration date on those Wet Ones. It's weird that they sent those to us for promotional purposes.
It's weird. Like,
that's very strange, Wet Ones.
How many podcasts are they sending these out to? You know what? This is so old. This is so old. I think the expiration date is like faded. It's like you can't read.
No.
I think mom got this at the store the other day.
No, you mean they sent it to us.
I mean, I'm not putting this in my mouth. I mean, what's the worst that could happen with an expired wet one?
I don't know.
You know, we're not going to die.
Wet ones, it's not going to kill
you. It's not going to kill you. Go past the expiration. Do they have expiration dates? That doesn't make any sense.
Well, then maybe they're then just slightly damp ones at this point.
Slightly. That's good. All right. went on for too long. What's our next film?
Sam's going to use our doodle-doo and tell us what it is.
All right. Let's do it.
Doodle-doo. It is Amadeus.
All right.
Yes. Long biographical film. Cannot wait.
And it's fake, right?
Yeah, it's super fake.
Stay tuned for that trailer.
And cut.
Are we going to appall you with something confidential and disgusting? Let's hope so, because that is what you really like. Unconfessed crimes of buried wickedness. If that is what brings you to us, the prospect of hearing horrors, you shall not go unrewarded.
I don't believe it. The whole city is talking.
You hear it all over.
What a story.
What a scandal.
What a comedy.
What a tragedy.
Incredible.
I don't believe it.
Who can believe it?
What horrors have you heard?
Tell us.
Tell us.
Tell us at once.
Tell us about Wolfgang.
Amadeus.
Mozart.
Mozart.
Mozart?
How good is he? This Mozart. He's remarkable.
He's an unprincipled, spoiled, conceited brat.
I'm a vulgar man. But I assure you, my music is not.
He is divinely inspired.
He is arrogant, vulgar, obscene.
He creates music for the gods.
He is passionate.
He burns with fire.
He is an angel.
He is a devil.
He claimed he'd been poisoned.
Some said he accused a man.
Some said the man was Salieri.
Salieri?
Salieri.
I don't believe it.
All the same.
Could it be possible?
Did Salieri do it after all?
Did he murder Amadeus?
Amadeus, the man, the music, the magic, the madness, the murder, the mystery, the motion picture. Amadeus. Everything you've heard is true.